Hello. This is the third Sunday of our government-mandated separation from each other, a mandate your elders have agreed to submit to. We still view this and hope and pray that this is going to be a temporary measure. And at the same time, we hope that it'll cause each of us to appreciate all that much more the times that we can be together and look forward to that time when that will happen. I'm confident that we're all looking forward to that. We have had two audio sermons already posted onto the BremertonChurchOfChrist.org website. And then last week we did one video of the second one that was on Facebook Live. Many of you saw that. And so this series we are entitling Guarding Your Hearts. It's from Proverbs, the fourth chapter and verse 23. And the first lesson was on guarding your heart against fear. Last week was against idolatry. And this week I want to look at guarding your heart against worry. This seems to me to be something that's very relevant. Right now, the world is absolutely focused on the COVID-19 virus. How could it not? Deaths in the United States this past week surpassed the number of those who died in 9/11 and in that tragedy. Worry and anxiety is something that all of us are susceptible to. In fact, I would imagine that all of us have experienced worry or anxiety at some point in our lives. And anxiety or worry, like COVID-19, can be very contagious. It's definitely something that we want to learn to guard our hearts against. So let's see what we can discover from God's word on this. And I promise not to take as much time as I did last week. Let's begin by talking about the relationship between worry and fear. I think we often mistake one for the other. They are different, and yet at the same time, they are still related. Fear is an involuntary reaction to a present danger, to a real danger. It is a God-given survival signal that's wired into us. It creates in us a fight or flight reaction to that. And real fear is intended to be brief. It's intended to pass away as soon as we are out of danger. Unwarranted fear, and that's fear that we have when actual danger is not present, unwarranted fear has a great deal of power over us. And it's at that point that worry and anxiety comes in. Whereas fear is an involuntary thing, worry is a voluntary thing. It's something we choose to do. It is a preoccupation with what might happen. And this creates that unwarranted fear that we just mentioned. There's some negative consequences and significant consequences that can happen through worry. Number one, worry shortens our lives. If you go over to Matthew, the sixth chapter, Matthew chapter six, this is the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to be giving you each passage a couple of times because I want you to turn your Bibles there. In Matthew, the sixth chapter, and at verse 27, Jesus said, "Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life?" Some of your translations will say, "can add a single cubit to his height." But a cubit is 18 inches, and you know there may be some of you that would like to add 18 inches to your life, but to your height. But I think that this idea of adding time to our lives is really probably the idea that is embedded in this. And listen, we all know that worry doesn't add time to our lives. In fact, it takes time away from us. Worry removes clear thinking. And if you won't admit that that does that to you, certainly you have observed it in others that when people are worried, when they're anxious about things, they don't make really good decisions. Worry also robs us of joy. You've never walked up to someone and said, "Well, why are you so happy?" And they say, "Well, you know, I'm worried about something." Worry takes away our joy. It robs us of that. And of course, worry also robs us of time. It wastes our time. It wastes our energy. So while worry often produces fear, an artificial, unwarranted fear, worry and fear are not the same thing. And listen, we do not need to be manufacturing fear by worrying about things. And hopefully in this lesson, we're going to give you some tools to help us to not be anxious, to guard our hearts against that. So how do we guard our hearts against worry? That's the $24 question. That's the title of this lesson. And there are several key things that the Bible recommends that we should do to combat worry. I'm going to talk about four of them here very briefly. And I want you to not look at this as a trip to Baskin and Robbins 31 flavors where you get to go in and you choose the flavor that you want. These tools, these keys that God has given to us, is a single multi-pronged weapon against worry in order to defeat anxiety. And all of them are important, and all of them need to be implemented. All four of these things need to be a part of our lives. So the things that we need to do. Well, the first one is one that hopefully all of us are already doing. It's already an attitude that we have adopted already, and that is, "Thy will be done," or "Your will be done." That tool, that key and weapon against anxiety, is one that was suggested by Jesus himself. In Matthew, the 6th chapter, which is in my Bible, just across the page from where we just were, in teaching his disciples to pray, he said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Jesus himself utilized this particular tool in the Garden of Gethsemane. And if you're still in Matthew, turn over to the 26th chapter, Matthew chapter 26. And in verse 42, as he's praying to the Father about what he's about to face, he said, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And I'll tell you, that attitude helped Jesus. It gave him strength. It allowed him to get rid of this anxiety. In fact, if you go back a little earlier in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 37, he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. So before he went into the garden, before he began to pray, he was sorrowful and he was troubled. He was anxious about what was about to happen. But after surrendering his will and saying, "Your will be done," as we read through the rest of this horrific thing that Jesus had to endure for us, you see a person who's calm. You see a person who is submissive. You see a person who is in control of himself and what's going on, because he was willing that God's will be done in his life. I think all of us would agree that the things we generally worry about are things that are out of our control. And it's that powerlessness, it's that lack of control of our lives that causes us to worry. But if we'll trust God, and we certainly ought to, then we can say, "Your will be done." And that will help take away our worry, because a loving and powerful God is watching over us. It has been placed into his very capable and loving hands. The second thing goes hand in hand with "Your will be done," and that is simply to trust God. In Isaiah chapter 26, Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, Isaiah said, "You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Isn't that what we're seeking? Isn't that the answer to worry and answer to anxiety, is this perfect peace? And it's certainly to be preferred over worry. Well, how does that come? It comes as a result, Isaiah says here, because we trust in God. There's another good example of this back in Genesis chapter 15. And it's an intriguing context that this statement is made in. The context of Genesis 15 is Abraham has just defeated this four-king union that have come down and defeated Sodom, taken Lot and his family captive and left with them. And Abraham and his servants have gone after them, defeated those four kings, and they have returned back to Sodom. He has just been blessed by Melchizedek. And here in verse 1 of chapter 15, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. God is telling him not to be afraid. We don't know what he's afraid of at this point in time, but we're about to find out. And that is in verses 2 and 3, because Abram is actually worried about not having an heir. Abram said, "Oh, sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir." So how could God's promise to make him a great nation and through his seed all the nations of the earth be blessed, how could that happen without an heir? And he's worried about that. He's concerned about that. And right before he voiced his fear, right before he voiced his worry and his anxiety, God told him, "Trust me. I am your shield and your great reward." I'm impressed by the fact that God already knew what Abram was concerned about, what he was worried about, and told him up front, "Just trust me." In Psalm 43, that's why I have to say it two or three times, Psalm 43, and at verse 5, the psalmist said, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Why are you worried? Why are you anxious? The psalmist here said, put your hope in God. Trust in him. Again, let's just go back again to Matthew, the 6th chapter, and this great text that Jesus taught on the whole concept of worry, starting at verse 25 and going down through verse 33. He said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes?" So Jesus is even telling us here, we don't even need to worry about the basic necessities of life. And then he gives us some examples. He said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" Skipping down to verse 28, "And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith, you of little trust? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Trust God. Trusting God and trusting in Him fully removes worry. It cancels it out. Number three, allow the truth of God's word in your heart to protect you. And you'll notice that I said the word of God in your heart, not on your coffee table, not in your bookcase, but in your heart. All the passages that I'm going to give you here are familiar, and you need to call them to mind when you feel anxiety or worry starting to creep up into your mind. The first one is Ephesians, the sixth chapter. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, he said, "Be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power." Because we're going to have to stand, as he's going to talk about in the next verse, against the Satan's schemes. We sometimes worry about whether or not we can overcome the difficulties of life, the temptations, the suffering, and all of those things. And we need to be strong in the Lord. And in starting at verse 13, he tells us how to do that. He said, "Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. Stand therefore with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted, with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Look at all this armor, and every part of this armor is linked to God's word. The belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. David said in Psalm 119 and 172, "All your commandments are righteousness." Our feet are shod, fitted with the preparation of the gospel. We have the shield of faith, and faith comes by hearing God's word. We have the helmet of salvation, again, that comes as a result of the gospel. And then specifically says we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Listen, if you're armed with the word of God, worry will be defeated. Over in Philippians, just one book over to your right, in Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verse 8, Paul said, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things." Think about God's word. Meditate on God's word. Consider the promises that He's made. Consider how much He loves you. Consider the power and ponder those things. Ponder the things that are true. Ponder the things that are noble and right and pure and lovely. Put them into your mind and create those mental ruts and habits of thought to occupy your mind, so that when worry comes along, that would cause you to try to get out of those ruts. And if you'll just bring your mind back to those things that are admirable, those things that are praiseworthy, then worry won't have a place to settle in. Psalm 37 and verse 1. Psalm 37 and verse 31. "The law of their God is in their hearts. Their feet will not slip." When God's word is in your heart, then your feet are planted firmly. And then you're very familiar with 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, that His divine power has granted unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And listen, one of the main things that we need with regard to life is how to get rid of anxiety, how to rid ourselves of worry. So number three again, allow the truth of God's word in your heart to protect you. You have to implant that, as James said. You have to put that into your mind and have it be a part of you, so that when these things come into your lives, and sometimes in an unexpected way, you can call on this weaponry that God has given to us. The fourth thing, and the final thing that we're going to be talking about here, is prayer. And I didn't read that on purpose here just a moment ago in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, back with the armor of God in verse 18. Paul said, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints." Back again in Philippians, the fourth chapter, in verses 6 and 7, before he tells us what to think about, he said, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Listen, that's what we're talking about. We're talking, how do we guard our hearts against worry, against anxiety? How do we hold on to this peace that Paul says will transcend all understanding? Well, we do that through prayer and asking God to help us. Another very familiar passage on this is 1 Peter, the fifth chapter, in verse 7, where he said, "Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you." And listen, again, that just brings us back full circle to your will be done and to trusting God. Pray, cast your burdens on them, leave them there, and go on your way. In conclusion, remember that worry produces an unnatural fear. It robs us of the peace that Jesus died for us to be able to enjoy, that peace that Paul mentioned in Philippians 4:7, that peace that surpasses all understanding. And listen, when we live in uncertain times, like we're in right now, and when things we cannot control, that becomes a fertile ground for us to create anxiety and its consequential, unwarranted, artificial, manufactured fear. And we need these four blessings of God to guard our hearts. We need to have that attitude of "Your will be done," and then a full trust in God. Allow the truth of God's word that's in our hearts to protect us, and then pray. And with all, as is the case with all of God's gifts to us, they're only helpful if we use them, if we apply them, if we make them a part of our lives. Next week, I'll present a lesson on the resurrection. And it'll be a lesson that I do every year on this particular day, on the anniversary of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And feel free to invite your friends or to give them this link next week. They may learn some things that are important to them about the resurrection of Christ, and it not being just about Easter bunnies and dyed eggs and little girls in pretty dresses. I hope this has been helpful, and I hope that God will bless you, and I pray that you will all stay well.